This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
Arvindy Raj.
Of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Shout hello, Christine.
Hello.
If you'd like to get in touch, 0187898899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Today's topic of discussion: should we be looking for work rather than a job, or are we doing enough to train students for the gig economy? We've had some feedback via WhatsApp. Arv's going to take over that. What have we got, Arv?
Yeah, so Rukija says whether they're prepared or not, the gig economy may not be for everyone. And then Linmark says not just learning to invest, but paying taxes. So difficult to learn to pay taxes when you're in a company, much less when the onus is entirely on you.
Doesn't she work for the Morning Runner? Aren't they like all the financially savvy people?
Is that the same
Linmark? I think it must be, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, we're going to move on now, of course, to our next story. All about Gen Z, how they don't always want to hear from you. Why is that, Audrey?
So, well, let me get to it slowly, you know.
step by step.
So, apparently Gen Z, they may use their phones all the time, more than any other generation, but they're less comfortable with the idea of always being reachable on their phones. Mm. They're also less likely than millennials to be okay with being reachable at all times. There was a survey done across 1,500 US residents by market research firm GfK Consumer Life, and they said that members of so-called Generation Z are less likely than their millennial counterparts, 66% versus 71% for women and 57% versus 74% for men, to want to be always reachable. And that puts them more in line with the older US generations. Now, GfK interprets this as a potential sign of tech fatigue, but it could also be a different way of engaging with tech in the first place. Now, Gen Z, the eldest of whom are right now about 21, 22, 23 or so, they are digital natives, meaning they've been raised with computers and on the internet. And more experience with digital connectivity could make them less enamored by the novelty and more wary of its potential consequences. We've heard about the rates of suicides and depression. They're on the rise among young people, and many blame tech for that shift. Still, even as people making these tech are reconsidering its impact on our lives, you know, like Instagram and Facebook, they have a vested economic interest in making you spend time on their platforms, but they are the ones that are also now instituting features that let people cut back on screen time. There are all these efforts with the time well spent movement, the amount of time we spend on our smart, but you know, the amount of time we spend on our smartphones is continuing to tick up. So now what they're saying is that it's the Gen Z right now that they're clearly saying that I'm not okay with this whole constantly always on culture. You know, I'm less okay with that compared to the millennials. Now, I'd like to argue that I don't think this is just the Gen Zs that are feeling it. I think the people who have been always on, maybe due to work or maybe due to family or for whatever reasons, I think we've come to a point where we've had enough too.
As the only representative of Generation X in this room, might I say that... Yeah, for sure. I hate the always-on culture. And as much as I like the ability that I'm able to do things at any time, whenever, but and we discussed this outside, Ords. You know, Ords asked me the same question, you know, are you comfortable with being contactable all the time? And I said, yes, I'm comfortable with being contactable all the time as long as I'm not being contacted all the time.
Mm.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I like people to know that I'm available if it's an emergency or if it's something that really needs to be dealt with urgently. I'm happy to deal with it right then. But it has gotten to the point within the last year or so that I've started switching my phone off as I go to bed. And I have not done that in a very long time, simply because I was receiving text messages and WhatsApps and updates and whatever at 12, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And it got to the point where it was disturbing my sleep and it was making me stressed. And I'm sure you guys have experienced this as well. It's not just one generation.
Yeah, no, but I think it's surprising for Gen Z because they are digital natives, like you said. And for Gen X, it's sort of easier to disconnect. For millennials, a lot of them grew up in the 90s, so it's also easier for them to say no if they don't want to be constantly on like social media or connected on the internet or, you know, whatever it is. But For Gen Z, I think it's surprising because that's their default. And they being digital natives, they are born with, you know, we say they're born with a phone in their hand, and they are so used to that technology that they might not know what it's like being disconnected. So for them to sort of make the active choice to be disconnected says a lot about that specific generation.
Christine's just passed me a little note like we're in class that says, maybe that's also why Gen Z is more uncomfortable with calls. You know, they demand an instant response.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's the millennials that are uncomfortable with calls. I think the Gen Z actually appreciate the more authentic form of communication, which is face-to-face or by picking up the phone. So there is that fine line between, like a lot of people say, like the Gen Z's don't want that face-to-face interaction, but I think that's kind of being muddled with the millennials. I think it's the millennials that are so used to now doing everything via text. You know, we used to do things via emails not so long ago, you know, but now everything is done via text. Even PR companies reach out to us or guests reach out to us. Everything is via text today.
On WhatsApp and stuff, yeah.
And that's accepted as a formal way to communicate. But I think the Gen Z's are actually moving towards a more authentic form of communication. I read this book. It's called Gen Z at Work. It's written by a father-son. They were the authors. And they actually wrote about how the Gen Z's would actually appreciate for their manager to come to their table and talk to them, have a face-to-face, and then at the end of the day, like kind of check in with them again, rather than send them emails and have that ping pong throughout the day. So,
right.
So that is based on, I think, 3 national studies done in the States. So maybe we're just kind of like, there's a blurring of sorts when it comes to who the millennials are and who the Gen Z's are at the moment, because the oldest Gen Z's are the ones that are just entering the workforce, right? So maybe, you know, like I'm a millennial, but I also feel like a lot of my values come from like from the Gen Z side. So maybe there's a little bit of that blurring there, you know?
And it's also, it's interesting because they always mirror like generations that were before them. Like I think the Gen Z mirrors the baby boomers. So the maybe like 5 generations down the line will feel the effects of their actions. But the millennials sort of try to change what Gen X was doing or what the generation before them was doing with work culture. They wanted to blur the lines between like the whole work-life balance came from the millennial bracket. So maybe Gen Z's are sort of, they're so used to having tech and they're so used to the way millennials did things, and millennials are now their managers at work or the people telling them how to live their work life, quote unquote, that they want to change the way it's done. And every generation that comes after the previous one will try to change the way they were doing it because they want to make their stamp, right? So maybe that's why they're moving away from tech so much, because they don't want to be as connected as the millennials because they are seeing the side effects of what that did to that generation.
I see Arvind's point. But, you know, coming back to this story about being reachable at all times, just before we came into the studio, it was actually Lin Mark, you know, that familiar name again.
Yeah.
She was telling me about a story about a Singaporean woman who was working in Paris.
Yes.
And she had to be...
slapped on the wrist.
Yes, for contacting her colleagues and her workmates after working hours. Mm. But I was telling her that that's because there's actually a law in France. I can't remember what it's called, but what they actually, you're frowned upon for contacting your workmates or doing any form of work or contacting anyone after working hours. Mm. You know, and this is something that France has been doing for a long time. I know even Germany has been talking about introducing an anti-stress law that's also concerning communication post work hours, right? And they've been talking about doing that for like 5 years now. So, I mean, moving forward, I think it's just the way the world is today, the world of work is today, that we're constantly being contacted after work. So maybe it's not just tech fatigue for the Gen Zs, it's just like they understand boundaries.
Here's going to be the problem, though. The discussion of today is whether or not, you know, kids and students are ready to work or we're training them well enough to be involved in the gig economy. Something like that where you are a freelancer and when you need to rely on getting work as and when it comes in is the fact that you are available and contactable at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yep.
You know? But maybe not after 10 p.m. You know, like there needs to be like...
For sure. Depending on, I guess, what industry you're working in. You know, if you're a musician or whatever, then... most likely you need to be contacted after 10 p.m., right?
After 10 p.m.
Way after 10 p.m., yeah. Right, we're going to take a short break. Music coming up from the Arctic Monkeys with Teddy Picker. When we come back, final story of the day. Supreme's Burnerphone. Why? That's what we're going to try and answer. Don't forget, though, if you'd like to contribute to the conversation, we're talking about whether or not we should be looking for work rather than a job. Are we training students good enough to be ready for the future gig economy rather than the past job economy? Let us know. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.